All right, I'm going to go ahead and start with just a couple announcements. We have our service times, you know, Wednesday. Right now, Wednesday's our Bible study. We're in chapter 4 today in Galatians. If you miss our studies, you can check them on the website or on our YouTube channel. Also, every service, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, 5:30 p.m. EST and 6 p.m. EST preaching. Other than that, that's mainly it. We are getting our new world here soon. That's going to be amazing. That's it for announcements. I'm going to go ahead and take prayer requests. Anyone has any prayer requests? Oh. No? All right. We'll go ahead and just pray over. Okay, what's up?
Pray for me to have the strength to make decisions that I need to have or make decisions I need to do.
Sure, yeah. Father, I pray for Brother Spooky. That you give him the sermon and wisdom that he needs. Lord, show him that you're his wisdom, Lord, and that you're working all things out for his good, and you're for him, not against him. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Ashes, what's up?
Prayer request for Master Christoph and Mackie on their new marriage.
Yeah, Father, I pray for Ashes' friends for their new marriage. Lord, I pray you bless them and bless the relationship, Lord. I just pray that they both show each other unconditional love, and they'll be grounded in grace and truth, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
How about you, Luigi? Luigi, keep pronouncing it wrong.
Can you pray for my grandmother? She's not dying now, but she's going to eventually, so I just want to make sure she's in the right place.
Yeah, Father, I pray for Luigi's grandmother, Lord, that she understands the gospel of grace, how simple it is, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for their family, Lord, during this hard time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Okay. Mal.
Could you pray for my courage to work on my getting outside with my anxiety?
Yeah. Father, I pray for Mal that you help her for anxiety, Lord. I just pray to remind her of the verse that says we can cast our care upon you, and that you said we can come unto you, that all our labor and heavy laden, Lord, that we can just rest in you, Lord. And I just pray you help Mal to rest in you, knowing that you're her courage, you're her strength, you're her wisdom, Lord. And I just pray that she rests in you, Lord, and depends on you, Lord. And I just pray you just help her, give her the boldness she needs, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Okay. All right, we're going to go ahead. I'm going to have Brother Spooky come up, and he's going to read our chapter, Galatians chapter 4. Brother Spooky, go fast. It's a long chapter, 32 verses. I'll try to speak fast.
Alrighty, I'll try. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, prefers nothing from a servant. Though he be Lord of all, he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto him, unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye know God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be it as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. They zealously affect you, but not well, ye, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now, and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all, for it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free.
Amen. All right. Nana, would you come up and pray over service for me? Thank you.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless this service today. I pray that we all can learn something from our Bible study today. I pray that we'll have a good time today as well. Holy and precious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. All right, so we're in Galatians chapter 4. We have about two more chapters left, and then after that, Wednesdays, which become normal service days, and then until we figure out what book we want to do next. But just a recap of what happened, what's going on here. In chapter 1, right, Paul is starting off strong. He says, listen, I marvel that you guys were moved from the grace of God into another gospel, which is not another, but a perversion. What do we see that perversion was in chapter 3? The perversion of the gospel was that people in Galatia were going back to the law for the Christian life, right? They were no longer resting in justification. They were what? Looking to themselves and their own strength, okay? In Galatians 2, we kind of saw how Paul talks about him going up to Jerusalem, seeing the other apostles and that big debate that happened, right? And now we're in chapter 4. Remember, this is a letter. So, like, the chapters are just there for us to remember. So, he's left off of chapter 3, starting here in verse 1. He goes on to say, now I say that an heir, as long as he's a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Verse 2, but he's under tutors and governors unto the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. So, Paul explains that Israel, right, under the law were children in status, but yet not enjoying their heirship, right? They were not enjoying their inheritance, right? And again, the law was a tutor. Remember in Galatians 3, right? He says the law is our schoolmaster. Other words, tutor. Some translations might say guardian. It was a tutor, not the inheritance itself, but it was a tutor to show our need in Christ. Right? Before Christ came, believers were in bondage to them into this world, right? Religious systems that govern us, right? Spiritually. Right? And infants and understanding, right? I mean, probably before you understood grace, you were what? Under bondage in this world, right? You probably attended an institutional church. You're under their systems, under their rule. And you know what? That's how most churches are today, right? They keep you in bondage. They keep you enslaved to the system. Now, I want to keep this in mind, guys. Don't get this, you know, this idea that we're just another institutional church. That's not our goal here. Our goal here is to encourage you to know the gospel. The reason I do preach in this kind of style, it's just a way for me to share my comforts with you, right? And, you know, I'm not some man of God, right? No, I'm just like you. We're all equal in Christ. I'm not ruling over you. You're free, right? But again, before we understood grace, we understood our inheritance, what? We were, what? Under bondage to the religious systems, okay? And here's the thing, what Paul is trying to say here, that the law was never God's final goal, okay? It was never meant to be the way, you know, our rule of life, okay? We see in Galatians, right? We see, well, not in Genesis 3, that when God gave the tree of good and evil, he never intended Adam and Eve to eat of it, right? It was Satan who told Adam and Eve that they can be like God if they knew right from wrong, aka the law. So because what Satan did, he enslaved us to this bondage system, this religious system, that we can be holy, we can be righteous apart from God. Right? And so God did give the law to Israel as a covenant, but he did it to show them that they're going to live by this good and evil system. He's going to show them how holy he really is. and to show them that they cannot live up to this standard that this tree presents. And if you look at any religion today, right, whether it's some forms of Christianity, they're living by Satan's message of, well, if you just knew what is right from wrong, then you'll be okay, right? Don't do evil, do good. And even Christians are like this. They'll tell people to online turn from their sins and get right with God and all this. And what they're just basically telling people is to eat of the good and evil and bewitching them into thinking they can be like God if they just knew right from wrong. That was never God's goal. That was never God's intent with us. Go to Galatians chapter 4, starting here in verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman under the law, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of what? Sons, right? So the fullness of times, right? Right, makes, marks when God sent his son to bring forth heirs, not slaves, right? And we're no longer slaves. We're sons, okay? We've been adopted into sonship. We're now recognized as full-grown heirs, not infants, right? Okay, we've been adopted into God's family by faith in him, by union with him. And we share, what we share in that sonship is what? His inheritance, right? And the Spirit. We're no longer slaves, okay? And what institutional churches do and what they produce is what? This slave system. We're no longer servants. What does that mean? We're adopted into God's family, right? Jesus came. Look what it says here in verse 4. Sorry, I just closed that out. Verse 4. I just closed my Bible app out. All right, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of the woman under the law. Right? And that's Jesus' earthly ministry, right? When Jesus came here on earth, he came and come for the Gentiles. He came to raise the standard of the law. Not just that, but to show the law and to save people from it, okay? To redeem them that were what? Under the law. That they might receive the adoption of sons. And before we got saved, we were under that system, right? Okay, and in that system, I mean, what? We were always trying to what? Fight for ourselves, earn for ourselves, be our self-sufficient. Look at verse 6. Now because you're sons of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, whereby you cry out, Abba, Father. Verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. If a son, then an heir of God through Christ, right? The Spirit of the Son is the Spirit of the glorified Christ, the risen Christ, the one who knows the Father perfectly. And guess what? He dwells in you. That's the blessing of the gospel, is the Spirit. And he dwells in us. And he cries, Abba, Father, right? And him crying, Abba, Father, becomes what? Ours. This is the life of Christ in us. Amen? And so, you know, you hear in churches that you have to earn God's favor, earn his blessing, earn his rewards. And what is that? That's slavery. That's what? Servant. And Jesus said here, or Paul says here, under inspiration from Christ, is that we're no longer servants, no longer slaves. You don't have to earn God's love. You have to earn his favor. You have to earn his blessings. You are standing in his blessings. You are standing in his favor. Why? Because you're now what? A child. Amen? That's good news.
Amen.
Justification, right? Being justified qualifies us to enjoy this fellowship. It's not our works, not our performance, not our emotions. It is what? Our faith. And the Spirit of God in us gives us assurance, life, and peace. Where our sense of blessing does not come from our works. It flows from our faith in Christ, not our effort, not our performance, right? And our feelings change. You can't base your standing on God on your feelings. If you eat a bowl of cereal, you might feel energized, happy, feeling great. But there's days where you feel tired, weak. Don't base your standing with God on your feelings, but on the truth of the gospel. Amen. That we're what? Sons and heirs of God. The Spirit of the Son is in you. He's crying, Abba, Father. And Abba, Father becomes yours. God's a perfect Father. And this perfect Father is not disappointed in you. He's not upset with you. He doesn't get frustrated with you and roll his eyes and yell at you. No. He holds your hand. He picks you up when you stumble. He holds you along the way. See, the Christian life is a life of rest in this. Resting in our justification. Resting in our God. Resting in the gospel. and knowing the love, acceptance that we have. We are children of God. When we're young kids, as young kids, we couldn't provide for ourselves. We couldn't fight for ourselves. We couldn't defend ourselves. We couldn't provide or anything. Our Father took care of us. Our family, right? And it's the same thing with God. He provides for you. He's your sufficiency. And what he wants you to do is depend on him. When Paul says in Romans 6, we've been raised in newness of life. See, in Romans 7, he says, we died. We don't serve in the oldness of the letter, which is what? The law. And the law, what it does, it makes you fend for yourself. Makes you fight for yourself, provide for yourself. But this newness of life is life dependent on God. Jeremiah said, by the Lord's mercies, I'm not consumed. And that's true. It's because of his mercies, I'm not consumed to this day. Look at verse 8. Howbeit then, he says, when you knew God, you did service unto them, which by nature are no gods. But now that you knew God, sorry, one second, that you knew God, rather known, but now after you have known God, or rather are known of God, have you turned again to the weak and beggarly elements of this world? You desire to get in bondage. You deserve days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I bestow upon you labor in vain. And notice that he said, listen, you knew the freedom you have. You knew, you heard of the inheritance. You heard of the gospel. You heard of the good news of Jesus. You know what he did. You know he's enough. Why would you return to the elements of this world? Why would you serve these creatures, these so-called gods, which are not gods at all, right? You know, sometimes how churches look up to the pastor. You know, they treat him like he's some kind of god. He knows it all, right? And he said, why are you enslaved to that system? Why are you in bondage into that system, letting these men rule over you? Right? The Galatians were reverting to law-based religion. They had a taste of grace. They understood the grace of God. Paul preached to them. But now they're returning back to the weak and beggarly elements of this world to live by the law and to act like slaves when they were heirs. But now they act like slaves. They were free, but now they're going back to bondage. And the elements of this world is the religious systems, the rituals, the legalistic self-effort that people put out. Touch not, taste not, handle not. And why are you, he's saying, why are you going back to those systems? If Christ did it all, you heard of the grace of God. I preached to you, Paul said. But why would you return to this religious systems that are there to destroy you? You know, it blows my mind sometimes. I come across people who are whether they're gay or straight and trans, and they're attending some other church on here that hates gay people or judges them. And in my mind, I'm like, why are you going back to those weak and unmet worlds and bondage systems? Why would you surround yourself by people who hate God's finished work and hate you? We had a brother here, and he left our community. And he left because he missed physical fellowship, he said. And he never attended our services anyway. He never attended, right? So he never had a taste of actually fellowship with one another here and all that. And what happened was he went back to this church that was teaching a false gospel and teaching law. And for what? Because he missed physical fellowship. So he understood the grace of God. He had a taste of it. But he threw all that away. Because he missed so-called physical fellowship. And now what? Now he became a self-righteous person. You see what that happens there? Paul warns that this nullifies the enjoyment of Christ. Right? If you're going back to these weak element beggarly systems, you're going to lose the enjoyment of the inheritance you have and the grace that you have. Right? People in Galatia, they were saved. They were still right with God. And Paul was trying to show them that. Like, listen, you guys are still right. You're still heirs. But you've been what? Bewitched. You've been deceived into thinking you have to earn what you already have in Christ. You've been bewitched into thinking that Christ isn't enough. And most Christians today are like that. Where you might have some that will say, oh yeah, you're saved by faith alone, amen. But if you want blessings in this lifetime, you gotta get to work for God. What are they doing? They're turning the grace of God into effect. They're nullifying the enjoyment of Christ. And now they're returning to the weak an element of exit this world, which is what? The religious systems, law-based systems, man-made rituals, touch not, taste not, handle not. Verse 12. Brethren, Paul says, I beseech you, be as I am, for I as am, beseech you, brethren, as I am, for I am as ye, you are have not injured me at all. And what is he saying here? Let's continue reading. Sorry, I'm about to pull my verse up. Brethren, you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not nor rejected me, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ. Right? When they heard Paul, they knew Paul was from God. They treated him as an angel. And he's using kind of a crazy example here. As an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What? When Paul preached to them, he did miracles among them by faith, and they embraced him. They enjoyed him. But what happened is that when men from James came down, these Judaizers and who hated the grace of God got in their congregation, their assembly, they betrayed Paul. And he goes on to say what? Verse 15. Where is this blessings you speak of? For I bear record that if it has been possible, you have plucked out your own mind and given to me. And what does that mean? He said, listen, if I came to you, right, before all this happened, and I asked you to pluck out your eye, you probably would have what? Done it for me. Now, that's a crazy thing. Yeah, they would have. And Paul said, if I become your enemy because I tell you the truth, they exactly affect you, but not well. They would exclude you. They might affect them. But is it good to be zealous, affected always in a good thing, and not only when I'm present with you, my little children whom I traveled and birthed and got into Christ before many of you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice and stand in doubt of you. And what is he saying? You know, Paul's desire was that Christ should be formed inwardly in them, right? They once rejoice in grace, but they drifted back in law keeping. And so his travel is hoping that they'll come back and rejoice in the grace of God that they have. You know, Christ in them and be forming them and enjoy that. But what happened was that when they let these religious systems people come in, these Judaizers come in, they lost that enjoyment. They lost that grace. They lost that feeling of enjoyment of Christ. So where's their sense of blessing, I ask? Where's this idea that God's blessing you now? Because when you're under the law system, there's no sense of blessing. What do you get a sense of? Cursings, guilt, shame, bondage, fear. And that's not from God. That's not from the Lord. We've been what? Justified freely, Paul says, by the grace of God. Not by the works of the law. And, you know, I've been preaching, you know, for a long time, you know, and I came to grace back in 2023. And you know, the people that once were my friends before when I was under law, when I became grace, I mean, they revealed their true colors. I mean, a lot of them said that I wasn't saved, you know, God's going to curse your church, all this other stuff. And none of it happened. One second, pull up a verse. None of it happened. And I remember this is in Psalms. He says, when I speak, I'm for peace. When I speak, I'm for peace. But when they speak, they're for war. Sorry, I'm trying to pull something up here, guys. All right. My point is this, is that when you understand God's grace, when you understand and rest in that, you know, men will come to prosecute you and judge you, and they're going to desire to put you back under bondage. This is what John 15 is all about abiding. Men will gather and cast you into the fire. That's not talking about hell. That's talking about prosecution. And that comes when you're resting in the gospel, when you're enjoying Christ, men will come. Men, religious people, non-religious people, they'll come and they'll persecute you for resting. They'll see the enjoyment of Christ that you have. You're sinning, you know. And anytime you point them back to the finished work, they'll say what? Well, come on, but. They always say but. You say it's finished, man. Right? Again, we are, Martin Luther said is that we're not slaves, but sons, not servants under the law, but heirs through Christ. This is a freedom of the Christian. that he is above all law, sin, and death. Nothing you do can change your position in Christ. But when men persecute you, for example, in Galatia, those men from James, they came down, and all these are brothers in Christ. Hey, they believe in Jesus. But then what happened? The whole assembly, the churches in Galatia, the whole region was swept away from grace. Not everyone who says they're a believer in Jesus are a Christian. Because you start to ask them, and they start to manifest what they are. Works trusters, Galatianized people, Judaizers. And you say, you're not my brother. And they'll try to gaslight. Oh, that's not loving. You're not being loving. Where's the fruit of the Spirit? You know, it's fun when they say that. It's like, well, it's the fruit of the Spirit, not your fruit. It's the Spirit's job. You know, they think they can produce that. No, you can't. There's nothing good in your flesh. Let's continue reading on Galatians 4. I left off at verse 20. Right? Verse 21. That's where I left off. Verse 20. Yeah, verse 21. Let's continue reading. And he goes on to say here, I tell you that he says, tell me, ye that desire to be under law, do not hear the law. And what does he mean by that? He said, listen, if you think by living by God's laws will bless you or give you kind of favor, you know, do not hear what the law actually says and what the law does. It provokes wrath. It works wrath. It provokes sin. You can't keep it. Hearing of the law is this. I can't keep it. It's impossible. So Paul is saying, listen, tell me, you that desire to live by the law, do not see what the law does. Do not see what the law says. Because you can't live by it. For as many of the works of the law are under what? Its curse. And so when you try to live your life by doing what is right and what is wrong, or trying to live by the commandments, whatever it might be, or even your own commandments you make up, what's going to happen? It's going to work wrath. It will steer the law of sin and death in your members. And Paul goes on and gives an example. For it was written that Abraham had two sons that came by the bondwoman and the other of the free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was what? Born after the flesh. But he that was of the free woman was by promise. Amen? Which things are allegory for these two covenants, that one from Mount Sinai, which generates bondage, which is Agar, Mount Sinai in Arabia, answer in Jerusalem, which is now is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren, thou bearest not, break forth and cry. Thou hast travest not, thou hast desolated, hath many more children than she was as a husband. Sorry, I'm going to keep continuing here a little bit. Verse 28, now we, brethren, are as Isaac was, the children of what? The promise. Okay? So Sarah, the promise, right? Hagar was law. So that kind of covenant there, the covenant of law and the covenant of promise, right? And he's saying here, Jerusalem above was above them, right? Sarah promised, right? Great, that was grace and life. The Father, God the Father, went to the Son, God the Son, and they had an agreement, they had a covenant with one another. And that generates life. Believers, us now, were children of the promise, like Isaac was. Born by faith, not by effort. We cast out the bondwoman, amen. We reject law, and we embrace Christ. So we cast out the bondwoman, this idea of law-based righteousness. It cannot coexist with grace. So we remove it. The law, the Hagar, was self-effort. It's bondage. It's religion of what? Flesh. Trying to please your flesh. And it's funny because Christians will say, well, we should try to live a life of not indulging the flesh. But they're the ones who are indulging in their flesh. How are they indulging the flesh? By thinking they can perfect it. Whether you're living by the restraint of the flesh or indulging the flesh, you're living by the flesh. To live by faith is not worrying about, is this evil or is this wrong? Living by faith is you living by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. It is you resting in Christ. Our life as children of God is not whether is this wrong, is this evil, is this sin? It is resting in what Christ has done. We're now heirs, not servants. The Christian life is Christ living in us. We're not striving. We're resting. And this shocks people, you know? And he says, those who are, let's finish reading this chapter real quick. I have more to say. So verse 28, or verse 29. But then it was born after the flesh, persecuted them that was born after the Spirit, even so is now. So Paul is saying, listen, these men from James We're born after the flesh. This religious system, they think that their law-based righteousness would justify them. They prucicate those who are born of freedom, which is you, as children of God, by faith. You've been free. Free from the law. Free from bondage. Free from guilt. And they will always, always prucicate you. Always. Always. Rome was done. And so when we, you know, it was funny because when I started this ministry, I told my staff that, listen, our goal is not to reach other Christians. I can care less about other Christians on here. That sounds harsh, preacher. Why would you say something like that? Well, because most of the time, those other Christians, so-called, are people who were born after the flesh. Born of religion. And that's all they're doing is preaching religion. Preaching death, guilt, law, and condemnation. So I'm not going to waste my time with them. Just like Paul said to people in Acts, that, you know, how it was for the Jews, the gospel was supposed to come to the Jews first, but then the Gentiles. Well, you know, the gospel came to the Christians. Now move on to the people in VR chat. People, the degenerates, you know, all of them. Because this is good news. And they'll embrace it. All people I've talked to in VR chat embraced it. You know who really hated this message? It was the so-called Christians. And so we see in Galatians 4, when men from James came down, the so-called Christians came down to Paul, who was preaching the grace of God. When it came to his church in Galatia, the whole region is swept away from Paul and his message of grace. Really, his message came from Christ. So it's the message of Christ unto their own perverted gospel of Christ, which was law-based righteousness. The law always, Martin Luther said, always prucicates the gospel. The children of the flesh always attack the children of promise. Therefore, let the gospel stand alone. He goes on to say that the conscience, our conscience, must hear this command. Cast out the bondwoman, cast out law, cast out death, cast out all terrors that have no right to rule over the Son of God. Look at me real quick. Your conscience will only find rest in the gospel. And you need to cast out all the law, all the attacks from the enemy that they throw at you. Cast it out, because it has no right to rule over you as a child of God. So that verse in Matthew 11, Jesus said, right? Come unto me, all ye labor heavy, and I'll give you rest. That verse is amazing, isn't it? It's true. He wants to give you rest. You have the right as a child of God to rest. To rest in his finished work. To say, it's no longer about me. I don't have to earn your love, Jesus. I don't have to earn your favor. I stand in it because I believed in you. And now I'm one with you. It's all about him. What happened to that? Men from James came down. That's what happened. And you know what? All these institutional churches we see, they never came from Paul. It never came from Christ. It came from the early church in Jerusalem, the Catholic system, the Orthodox systems, the way the robes and long-bearded men. Oh, I don't touch women. I can't look at women. Thinking that will justify them before God. That comes from what? The men from James. The men from James never came from Christ. Wow, never came from the gospel. Never came from the gospel.
Come in.
And so when you have this, so what happened is, this idea of unity. Oh, we all need to love one another. I'm going to say something. I don't love them. They don't love us, so I don't love them. The children of Hagar, the flesh, the Hagar, the law. I don't love them, and they don't love you. You know, David said, I know this is Old Testament, but I agree with David when he says, I hate them of a perfect hatred. Yeah, I want them to get saved. Yeah, I want them to see the truth of grace. I want to see what God has done for them. But you know what? I hate them of a perfect hatred. I hate their false doctrine. And what they have done to believers, what they've done to people. You know why most people are atheists and the haters of God today? It's because of them. People born after Hagar. They have left you, my friend, and me with a distorted view of God. And most of you grew up hating God and rejecting God because of men like them. So I hate them. And these other churches on here. Yeah, I hate Pastor Mike. I hate Cornerstone. I hate VR Men at Church. Because men like them are a reason why people hate God. And in bondage and enslaved. And guilt and shame. There's no freedom they have. Oh, you think with the flesh. Maybe I am. Maybe this is from the spirit. Okay, well, I'll embrace that. Yeah, I'm thinking with the flesh here. But I'm sick of it. Your conscience, God wants your conscience to be free. All these people who are protesting out there hating God with signs, I hate God, whatever. You know, God would rather show them mercy than judgment. God's going to show them mercy. And then when you have the so-called good Christian person, you know, they will say, oh, Lord, I did this and this. And God said, depart from me. I never knew you. While those people, they might get a pass. The Bible says, I'd rather show mercy than judgment, God says. We're almost done. So Paul, right, in Galatia, what we see in Galatians, that he's teaching them that Christians are free from every law, every terror, from any accusation. You are heir of things of Christ. And that was the gospel that was preached to Abraham, that he would be an heir to the word of God. You know what that means, the word heir? Have you seen Game of Thrones, right? People were heir to the throne, right? If the king dies, hey, it belongs to you no matter what. No matter what you do, whether you're a bad king, a stupid king, a drunk king, a fornicating king, an evil king, a so-called good king, it don't matter. That throne's going to be yours. And you're going to rule, you're going to empire, right? In this context, he will never die. He will never die again. We're heirs with him, co-heirs with him. So Jesus is sharing his inheritance with us. And it doesn't matter what you are as a Christian. A so-called bad Christian, so-called good, no, it doesn't matter. Whether you're a drunk, a fornicator, a dope addict, a prostitute, it doesn't matter what you are, what you've done, you're going to live forever with Christ on that throne. And your spirit right now is seated with him in heavenly places. It's promised to you. And remember those, I just want to make a joke here, but those memes, you know, with the Jews, where it's like, the land's promised to us, you know. But yeah, the kingdom is promised to us. It was promised to us since the time began. God made a way for all people, Gentiles and Jews all alike, that we will run, we'll be one with him. We'll be up there with him for all eternity. And the only requirement is not your works, not your feelings, not your sacrifice. It was that sacrifice. And by faith in him, a one-time moment of faith, you're saved and you're in that kingdom. You're now heir to the kingdom to come. Rejoice, brother and sister. Rest in that. This world is temporary. It's going to burn up one day. Our home's up there with the Lord. We're heirs, amen. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for this time, all the people here, Lord. And I just pray you bless them, Lord, and help them to rest in the gospel, Lord. Help them to rest in justification. And I pray if anyone's struggling with a guilty conscience today, Lord, that they'll purge their conscience from dead works, Lord, and they can purge it by applying the blood, by going to the blood, reminding themselves that what you did on the cross was enough, and that you're not upset with them, you're not disappointed with them, you're not surprised by their sins. Lord, you forgave their sins 2,000 years ago, and they're now freely to rest in you. I just pray you help them to rest, Lord. You are Joshua, Lord. Shepherd us into your rest. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right. That's it for amen. Service. Thanks for,
Amen.
Fellowship. For the fellowship.